Amen. We are so thankful for Children's Church and so thankful that you are here today. Give a couple of commercials this morning as we begin. I encourage you to take your Bibles, and if you already have them, your smartphone, wherever, turn with me to Isaiah. First commercial, I want to thank a shout out to my wife. She got an extra pair of mittens for me. So I had to put them back on and just to give a shout out to her and say thank you so much. Some folks, when they shake my hands after the service, they go, "Oh, Pastor Ted, your hands are so cold." And I say, "Yes, they are, but my heart is warm." Right? Amen to that. Yeah, sometimes what happens is I get nervous, and maybe it's just when I play solo guitar or when I preach, and it's just one of those things. I'm not nervous. I don't feel nervous. It's just my hands are cold, but my heart is warm. And so just a shout out, thanks, Sue, for her encouragement to me. Want to invite everybody to make sure that you come after church today to a wonderful time of fellowship around the table together and enjoying a good lunch and good fellowship. It's always a wonderful time to be together. And then another commercial, if you have wanted to be a member of our church, want to know what that's about, or if you put an application in and you know our Secret Service spotters, you know, missed you or haven't talked to you for a while, but we want you to be a part of this fellowship. We truly do. And so next week, we're going to cater Sunnies and have all of you come, all right? My wife and I are going to plan to be with you. You can ask any kind of questions. Was it true, Pastor Ted, when you were originally younger and started ministry, you were 6'5"? Stuff like that. And over 40 years of ministry, I'm 5'5", right? The other thing, men, I encourage you to help the ladies out and with the deaconesses, another commercial there. And Wayne, you are a wonderful deaconess. I don't know what Scott is talking about, but anyway, that's okay. That's a shout out to Wayne. Appreciate you for that. And then today, if you haven't been greeted by Nancy and Dan Cook, they are handing out to celebrate the sanctity of human life today. And there is a beautiful passage of Scripture that really honors our God, who is creator of all, who has made you and me in his wonderful, beautiful image, in his likeness. And so we stand with them and encourage you to take that flyer and pray and celebrate that we are made in the image of God. And we can know the Creator. And that's my prayer for all of you this morning, that you know Jesus deeper and better and greater than you've ever known him. That as you pursue him, he will unlock and open up his word and his spirit, and it will resonate within your bones as we sang about, and you'll come alive as never before, and you'll experience the joy of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer. So with that in mind, let's pray, and then we'll jump into our passage. Father God, we thank you so much for your holy word. When we look at your word, all I can exclaim is, wow, wow, how wonderful you are to reveal your word. And even as John says, your word became flesh and lived for a while among us, and we have just seen a glimpse of your glory in your beloved Son, Jesus. Thank you so much for the revelation of who you are. Thank you for being our creator. Thank you for being our savior. Thank you for giving us your spirit, not leaving us as orphans, so that we can discover how much you love us and how great you are. Our desire this morning is, Lord, to come with open ears and open hearts and open minds. So I pray that by the power of your Spirit that you'll speak to us according to your word, and that Jesus Christ, who is lifted up on high, will be exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he will just, by your Spirit, that your Holy Spirit will search our hearts and penetrate our hearts, the deepest parts, and move us closer. Give us that courage. Give us that faith for obedience. Do that transformation work in us. Change us to be more like Christ in word and in deed and in character, that you will receive all the glory and honor. So we pray this in the wonderful name of our risen Savior and Lord, Jesus. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we turn with me to the wonderful book of a Bible within the Bible in the Old Testament. It is the book of Isaiah. Isaiah probably wouldn't call himself a major prophet. You know, you have the minor leagues and the major leagues, and some of us who are Buck fans are on our knees and praying that they will do well in the coming game, and you can do that, and I encourage you to pray for that. God is the God of miracles, and so we're grateful for the way he works. But Isaiah would probably say, I'm just a spokesman for the Lord. I'm just his spokesman. And God, the Holy Spirit, moved in him, and he penned these 66 chapters. Now, if you're a theologian, you could get into the debate. Well, there was a school of prophets that were like-minded, like Isaiah, and so forth. But I do believe, personally, that Isaiah penned this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There are 66 chapters in this book. Verse 39 deal with, like, judgment. Ouch. But chapters 40 through 66 deals with salvation and rescue and the revelation of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Beautiful passage. We are in chapter 53. I could spend probably a month here in this chapter. It's, in one sense, to be very honest with you, it's overwhelming. It is a passage that, if we approach it, and I'll share with you how I approach it, it is a passage that, if we pause just for a moment and reflect upon it, will bring us to a place, I hope, at the foot of the cross, that we are reacting to God's Spirit of what God has done for you and me by allowing his Son to suffer for you and me, to take our place on the cross, that we would come to that place and our hearts would be humbled, our hearts would be filled with gratitude, our hearts would be filled with thanksgiving, our hearts would be filled with surrender, our hearts would be filled with a willingness to say, like Isaiah did when he saw the King, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. And then God touched him and took away the unclean things in his life and made him clean by the touch of God. And that we would say, here am I, Lord. Send me. It is a passage. And one writer I really like, David Jackman, pointed out that it really is from chapter 52, from verse 13 through all of chapter 53 is really one passage. And it is a song. And I like that. But it is a song that is a song of maybe a remembrance, a song of reflection, a song of that we can sing as believers filled with gratitude and worship to the Lord, and it should inspire us to really appreciate the great things God has done for you and me. So I want us to keep in mind this picture this morning as we look into this chapter, because I approach it as a chapter that reveals Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God as the Messiah. And what Isaiah prophesied 700 years earlier about Jesus, that he would have to suffer. That he would have to suffer. Jesus Christ is our suffering servant. And I would outline this passage as this. And we need to receive him as our Savior. Hallelujah, if you've done that. And we need to reveal him as our risen Lord. Because the tomb is empty. It's not folklore. It's not fiction. It's not a fable. It's a fact. The tomb is empty. And Jesus Christ, the risen Lamb of God who was slain, who John the Apostle saw and fell down dead. And the angel of the Lord lifted him up. Read Revelation to discover that. This Jesus who says, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This Jesus has risen again and he lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. And because he lives, if you put your faith and trust in him, he gives you the gift of eternal life and you live. He lives. Therefore, I believe in him and he has blessed me with the gift of eternal life. Therefore, I live. Guess what? You having trouble with your neighbor? Maybe your spouse? Look around. Are they a believer in Jesus? You're going to be with them for all eternity. You better get it right now. Get that relationship right now. Humble yourself before that person and say, I'm sorry. It's no big deal. I used to say years ago at Lake Swan Camp, in the scheme of eternity, what does it matter? Because people would come to me, well, you know, Mr. Ted, this isn't working, da-da-da-da-da, or we ran out of this, da-da-da-da, we don't have any more Cheerios for the kids, da-da-da-da, whatever it was. I said, okay, let's step back, let's be practical. What can we do to solve it? But really, in the scheme of eternity, does it matter? Now, some of those things, yes, and some of those things, no. But the enemy wants to come in and rob your life of the peace that is ours as a child of God. He wants to come in and rob you of the peace. Every day he wants to come in and rob you of the peace. The enemy does. He wants to fill your mind with worry. He wants to fill your mind with fretting. And I don't mean about a guitar player playing on the frets. I mean he wants you to fret, to freak out, to worry. And God wants us to be people who are in love with the suffering of Jesus, but so much so because we see the resurrection power of Jesus and we want to reveal him. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And boy, we all like that. Yeah, I want to know him. I want to know the power. I'm jumping around. Get ready. I want to know the power. But then we kind of fall short because of the next phrase there. It says, I want to know him and the power of resurrection. And then Paul goes on, I want to have the fellowship of knowing. I want to have the fellowship of sharing in his, don't say it. Don't say it. I don't want to go there. Sufferings. I want to have the fellowship of his sufferings. So when I look at Isaiah 53, I see that this 52:13-53 is really a chapter 700 years penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by Isaiah, revealing Jesus Christ as our suffering servant. And we need to receive him and reveal him as our risen Lord. So as we look at this, I have some other pictures for you, of course. When I was a kid, I used to watch with my kids Sesame Street, and I always liked the little jingle, one of these things. Well, these three things have something in common, don't they? What do they have in common? Bar of soap? Yes, a bucket of soap and rags and sponges and cleaning supplies, and then Tide, because you can get stuff clean. I'm not sponsored by Tide, but you can get stuff cleaned with detergent, right? Because in this world, we like to do this. Now, I don't necessarily like to do this personally, but we like to play in the mud. We like to play in the mud, and we like to get dirty in the world, and we like it. Well, let's be honest. But then we realize that we get stuck in the mud, and we realize we get filthy and dirty from the world system. We get entangled, as the writer of Hebrews says, sin that so easily entangles us and trips us up and defeats us. And some of us get into habits that drag us down. We become addicted because there is this condition in our lives that's worse than cancer. It's the cancer of the soul. It's called sin. Sin. Paul says the wages of sin, the wages, that means what you earn, what you will receive, the wages of sin, your earnings of sinfulness is death. That death is eternal separation from a living God. And so we need to seek God. And we need his cleansing. We need his help. There's a German cyclist. He's 69 years old in this picture. He was stuck in the mud for 3 hours on a bike trip. It was in a muddy ditch and a reservoir before he got pulled out by rescuers. And his name is Wolf Mitterjahn. And he drove into the ditch on his mountain bike after getting separated from a friend in an unfamiliar part of the reservoir in September. And he was unable to get himself out from the meter-deep mud, and he was stuck there. And finally, his friend went back and looked for him and found him and discovered him and got the police, and the police came, and they were able to drag him out and even rescue his bicycle. And if the police had not come, as his friend had not come back, he would not have survived. God demonstrates his love for us then by the fact that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, died for us while we were still sinners. Two verses in Isaiah 53, there's a lot of verses there, but verse 6 and verse 11, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In verse 11, "Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied." That is speaking of the suffering servant. "By his knowledge shall the righteous one," my servant, God is saying that, "my servant, my son, Jesus, the righteous one will make many to be accounted righteous." To make many to be accounted righteous. If you have your Bible, you like to underline that, I'd underline that. I would highlight that. Because of the suffering that Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you and for me, he makes many righteous. Now, some of us are going to stick our theologian hat on and say, "Well, wait a minute. I thought that you said that Jesus died for all people everywhere, every person." Yes. But the sad fact is, not everyone will receive Jesus Christ as their Savior by faith. Some will reject him. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. You may not have it all figured out, but that's an act of faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the word says you will be saved. Don't be that person. Don't be like the rich young ruler who came. He had everything in order. He had it all. He had it all figured out. He had it. He did every law, obeyed every commandment, knew every piece of scripture that was important. And he came to the Messiah, Jesus, and he said, "How do I receive eternal life? What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus looked at him and saw his heart and saw what he loved more than God himself. He said to the rich young ruler, "Go and give everything you have. Give it away. Sell everything you have and then come and follow me." What would you do if you were that rich young ruler? Ted, I know you love music. Ted, would you sell all your guitars and all your instruments and all that stuff? Would you come and follow me? Ted, I know you talk a lot about coffee, and you love coffee, because coffee is really Christ offers forgiveness for everyone everywhere. You love coffee, but would you give up your dark roast? Would you give up your coffee machine? Would you give all that up? Come and follow me. Ted, you love the church, the people in the church. They're great people. Have you met some? We all allow our hang-ups to get in the way, our hangnails. But do you love them more than me, Ted? Do you love them more than me? Would you give that up to follow me? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Lord, give me an undivided heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. We need a Savior, because each of us have pushed and shown and maybe influenced others in the wrong way. So all we like sheep have gone astray. We like that mud. And Christ wants to bring us out of the mud hole. Eugene Peterson says this in 1 Peter. He says, "This is the kind of life you've been invited to, the kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by step. He never did one thing wrong, not once said anything amiss. They called him every name in the book, and he said nothing back. He suffered in silence, content to let God set things right. He used his servant body to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin, free to live the right way. His wounds became your healing." Hallelujah. You were lost sheep with no idea who you were or where you were going. Now you're named and kept for good by the shepherd of your souls. You have not been abandoned by God. You have not been forgotten by God. You have not been neglected by God. He paid the ultimate price so you could be set free and you could know him. And you could live in victory for him. We need to receive Jesus as our Savior. Have you? We need to reveal the risen Lord. Will you? I pray that you will. Now, I have a lot of slides, but we're going to fly through them. Don't worry. I know the meal is waiting. But God wants to maybe encourage you in your step of faith and journey with him. First of all, receiving and revealing our risen Lord begins with faith. He says in verse 1, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. Wow. Who has believed our message? It's hearing the message of the Lord. It's trusting in the message of the Lord. It's accepting the message of the Lord. The message of the Lord. What is the message? The message is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is that message? Simply put, Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Yes, the message in a nutshell, you know it well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. That is the good news. That is the message, and that is the commandment that Jesus gave before he ascended to glory, before his disciples, and he said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always. That is our purpose as believers in Jesus Christ. Primary numero uno. Number one, we are to know him and make him known. Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior, who gave himself for you and for me. You think about all your faults and all your wrongs and all your hang-ups and all the bad stuff you've ever done and magnify that by all of creation, and Christ paid it all on the cross so we could be set free and clean and holy before Almighty God. And that should give us courage and confidence to reveal our risen Savior. We need to come again to that place and say, Lord, this is the message. Wow, you've done it for me. I will trust in you. That means I'll allow you, O Holy Spirit, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, who made me in his likeness, who has saved me from my sin, I'm going to allow you now, as my Savior and Lord, to direct my steps. That means, Father, as I spend time with you in the Word, as you reveal your will to me, I'm going to allow you to direct my steps. I'm going to allow you to guide me and teach me and instruct me the way in which I should go. In other words, Lord, what do you want me to do? I will do. What do you want me to say? I will say. What gifts will you give me to accomplish your work for your glory and your honor? I gladly receive them. Equip me. Enable me. Use me for your glory. That's revealing the risen Lord. We need to hear the message, trust in the message, and accept the message. Secondly, receiving and revealing our risen Lord impacts our vision. I don't like getting old. I'm confessing. Because you know what happens when you get old? Joints hurt. Parts of your body you knew you had before, they start wearing out. And your vision starts getting funny on you, right? And I remember, I've shared it before, I've gone to the driving, I was like 23 in my 20s, and I couldn't pass the seeing exam. When you had to look in the thing, and then I said, well, I know I can see all those letters, and I had the gal clean it like four times. And it didn't work. I had to go and get glasses. I joined the intellectual club. I got glasses, and I can see better. But when we take time to look at Jesus Christ and how he's revealed in his word, the Holy Spirit illuminates, opens up scripture, and it will impact our vision. It says there, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord, it's God's mighty hand. It's his power. It's his strength. It's his working in our behalf. And it's been revealed. Who's it been revealed to? Well, if you're sitting here and you have the word of God and you know Christ, guess what? It's been revealed to you. Wow, the mighty arm of the Lord has been revealed to you. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we don't need to be like Gollum in The Lord of the Rings and go, oh, my precious, I'm going to hide it away. I'm going to hide it away. No, we need to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's helping me today because I don't feel good, but he's given me strength to praise him. So I'm going to praise the Lord anyhow. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. He answered prayer this week. He allowed me to be reconciled with a brother in the Lord that's been offset for about a couple of years. Boy, praise Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. He heard my prayer. He healed my soul and my body. Let me tell you about Jesus. He loves me so much that he took all of my Christian swear word, crap, on the cross, washed me clean, made me whole, so I could be brand spanking new. And that's a better fragrance than smelling a brand new car. Are you clean? Oh, we need him. I'm running out of time. Verses 2 through 12 deal with going deeper with Jesus. Deeper in our relationship with him. That's why some of us are blown away so easily by the things of this world. Someone says something angry at us, or someone looks at us cross-sighted and we interpret it wrong. They could just be having indigestion because they ate too much pizza the night before. And we interpret it as, boy, they don't like me, man. What did I do? And we get all bent out of shape. And then angry words flow from our lips. And we're thinking, where did that conversation come from? And we need to go deeper with Jesus in order to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We need to have our roots deep in him, and it's by asking his Holy Spirit to help us. And so how do you do that? Well, take time to look at verses 2 through 10. What did Jesus do? Isaiah says in his songwriting here, he's like a tender plant, and he grew up, and there wasn't anything spectacular about Christ to look at him. He wasn't the most, according to this passage of Isaiah, he wasn't the most handsome. He wasn't the tallest. He wasn't the star football player on the field. He wasn't the one who won the talent contest. He was just ordinary. No attractiveness according to the world standard that we should look at him. It says in verse 3, he was despised and rejected by others, a man of sorrows, but he was intimately familiar with suffering. But people just didn't even want to look at him. Especially after he was beaten. Read Matthew's account and Luke's account of the crucifixion. He has borne our suffering, carried our sorrows. Yes, we considered him stricken and struck down and afflicted. In verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that made us whole was upon him. And by his bruises we are healed. He took it all upon himself. Verse 6 again, that theme verse. And we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed and was afflicted. Yet he didn't open his mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. As a sheep that before its shears is silent. So he did not open his mouth. We recall that in the trial before Pilate. Jesus didn't open his mouth. You say that you're king of the Jews. Are you king? Verse 8, from detention and judgment he was taken away. And who can even think about this? His descendants, for he was cut off from this land of the living. He was stricken for the transgression of my people. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Verse 9, Then they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich people in his death, although he had committed no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. They took Christ's body down from the tomb, Joseph of Arimathea, and they placed him in a rich man's tomb. Verse 10, the Lord says, it was my will that he should suffer. His death was a sacrifice to bring what? Underline that. Bring forgiveness. Bring forgiveness. And so he will see his descendants. He will live a long life. And through him, my purpose will succeed. The beautiful truth that separates Christianity from every other religion on the planet is that God, through Jesus Christ, gives you and I a standing before him of forgiveness. We get to receive God's forgiveness because of what Jesus has done. All we have to do is confess it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the enemy comes in and says, yeah, I remember that bad thing you did. Yeah, not forgiven for that. Oh, yes, you are. If you've asked the Lord to forgive you, you are forgiven because of what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Then we see receiving and revealing our risen Lord. It transforms our identity. It's to change us. It is to make us new people, new creatures, a new creation. It changes us because we now have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. He transforms us. We belong to him. We're made righteous. We're no longer citizens of the kingdom of darkness. I'm now a citizen of the kingdom of light and of heaven. So when you walk around this week in our land of milk and honey, do you think of yourself as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Or do you think of yourself as a kingdom of darkness? Oh, I pray that you will clothe yourself with the righteous robes of Christ, which is yours, and that you will discover that you belong to him. Your identity is in him. John says, as many as received him, he gave them the right to be called children of God. Verse 11 says, out of the suffering of his soul, he will see light and find satisfaction. And through his knowledge, his servant, the righteous one, will make many righteous. And he will bear their iniquities. And then verse 12, therefore I will allot him a portion with the great. And he will divide the spoils with the strong because he poured out his life to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he carried the sins of many and made intercession for their transgressions. So what does that mean then for us? What is Isaiah saying to us? 700 years before Christ actually took place and actually suffered for you and for me. What does that mean? How will you respond? I pray that you will respond with a heart filled with gratitude. I pray that you will respond with humility. I pray that you will respond with an openness to receive Christ, the risen Lord, as your Savior and Lord. That you will say, Father, I recognize that you gave Jesus to be the sacrifice for my sin on the cross, past, present, and future. And that you say, if I believe in him, you will forgive me of my sin and you will place your spirit within me and give me the gift of eternal life. I'll be adopted as your child, totally yours. And I want that. And so, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Do your transforming work in me. Help me to follow you and live for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, a prayer like that is a beginning. There's no magic in a prayer. It's a life that is given over to the Lord and allowing the Spirit of God to direct your steps. God promises, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you will go. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never turn his back on you. He will always be faithful, even in the midst of our faithlessness. Today is a day of salvation. If you've never trusted in Christ, today is a day. Now is a time. Christian, today is a day for you to begin, if you've forgotten to take off the masks, to come out from hiding behind the bushel that you've covered up the light with. Now is the time to start revealing the risen Lord today. Don't worry about the looks your neighbors give you. Don't worry about the cousin you haven't talked to except at Christmas time, and they don't like you and you don't like them. Tell them about Jesus. Today is the day to start revealing Christ to your relatives and your neighbors, to your family members. Because if he changed you, guess what? He can change them. And he longs to. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So keep in mind, we serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts. It is sobering to think of what you have done just to capture our attention so that we would value who you are. That we would value the depth of your love, that we would value your Holy Spirit, that we would value your word, but we would also value Jesus Christ, our Savior. And in these moments, there might be someone here this morning that has never put their faith. They know a lot about you. They might say, I know a lot about Jesus, about the Bible, but I've never put my faith in him. I invite you to do so. I plead with you to do so. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There might be a believer here, Father, who is struggling. Haven't revealed the risen Lord. They haven't felt the resurrection power that you give your children, and they are struggling. And Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the furthering of the gospel, but for the healing of your children. Because by your stripes we are healed, by your wounds we are healed. I pray that you will bring healing to them. Healing in thought. Healing in emotions. I pray that you'll bring healing in health and bodies. More importantly, I pray you bring healing to their souls. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bring healing to our souls. Give them the courage to come to you, O God. Thank you. And so, Lord, we pray in these moments that you will move and speak to our hearts as we sing. And we give you all the glory and thanks. In Jesus' name.